Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, the island is still without fresh water, supplies, and relief efforts. You can help. Head to GoFundMe.com/Operation Puerto Rico Gift Lift to donate cash and supplies. For more information, head to brief.promaxbda.org. Hello, I'm Paige Alpiniak, editorial director of Promax BDA, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Facebook, Twitter, Insta, Snapchat, Pinterest, LinkedIn. So many platforms, so many voices, so little time. How can a marketer figure it all out? Not to worry. Cause and Effect's executive creative director and social media diva, Bex Schwartz, is here with simple tips and tricks on how best to approach each platform. She presents it all in her signature style from Promax BDA Station Summit in Las Vegas. Let's listen in on what she has to say.
Finding engagement, how to talk to your audience on social media with your new friend, me. I'm Bex Schwartz. My handle is at Starbucks on like every platform. It's like Starbucks, but with my name, Bex. As Ari said, I'm the ECD of awesomeness, or sometimes I like to call it of all things awesome. That means I write and direct and strategize and do promos, branded, integrated marketing, short form content, social, digital, commercials, etc. If it's short form, I probably have my fingers on it. If you want to get a head start, this is me on the Twitter. That's Nicaragua in the background. It's a better picture of me than I look right now. You can see that I have 4,130 followers, which is not a very big deal. But according to my dad, it's really impressive. So I've always wanted to use this heading. So here we go. Everything you wanted to know about Bex, but were afraid to ask. Thank you, Woody Allen. Also known as I'm in Vegas, why am I sitting here listening to this woman talk instead of playing craps or getting drunk or being at a pool or doing whatever else you do in Vegas? This is my first time in Vegas, by the way. I've never been. I hear there's things like zip lines and roller coasters. I haven't left this hotel yet, but I will. Anyway, so that, yes, currently I am the ECD of Alchemy X. Before that, I was the creative director at Nickelodeon. I ran Teen Nick and Nick Splat, which is the 90s Nickelodeon block. I focus on teens and tweens, or at least I did at Nickelodeon, which is why I know so much about social. Before that, I started as a PA at VH1, worked my way up to being the director of On Your Promos over there. I can answer all of your VH1 and Nickelodeon questions, don't worry. Also, what's up? I'm a female director and a female writer. That's cool these days. Thank you. There aren't that many of us. There should be more. So if you're looking, I like to travel and direct everywhere. Also, just how I got to be social media. I hate the term guru because that makes it sound like religious. I'm an atheist, but let's pretend that I'm a guru. While I was doing all of this, I branded and launched Logo back in the day. It was fascinating. The mandate when we launched was this has to be a channel for gay people that is not scary to closeted gay people in middle America. So the rules when we launched were no pink, no purple, no rainbow, no drag. Of course, as you know now, the number one show on Logo is RuPaul's Drag Race. It features pink and purple and rainbow and drag. It is so successful it has now moved to VH1. I also sort of served as a micro agency within Viacom itself. I did all the on-air creative for MTV Games. So that was Rock Band, Rock Band 2, Green Day Rock Band, Dance Central, etc. I was a theater major, in case that wasn't incredibly obvious. When I moved to New York, I started directing avant-garde theater. I do not have a trust fund, which is how I got involved working in promos. I did a lot of on-air comedy, so you probably saw me on Best Week Ever. If you watched it, or E! Or Oxygen, or CNN, or MSNBC, or all of those things, Headline News, AMC, yada, yada, yada. I used to have shorter hair. I was a lot skinnier, a lot prettier. I used to wear a big star necklace. That was me. The big thing in terms of social was that in 2009, we were launching the Beatles Rock Band. Facebook had just become open to the world. Twitter was pretty new. Brands weren't really using it. My mother had just passed away, and I stopped sleeping. And my clients were like, you're a really good writer, and you seem to get social. Being a comedian, we used to send out emails. What? When we had gigs, it would be like, what's up, Sunday, I'm at Caroline's at 8. And then all of a sudden, social media happened, so we didn't need to use email. So a lot of comedians and performers were early adopters because we're nothing but self-promotional whores. So I was an early adopter on social. So I ended up being the Beatles on Twitter, which was amazing. I'm a huge Beatles fan. It was a dream come true. And also, I've been a lifelong marriage equality activist. This will all make sense shortly. Here's why. Boom. This is a big deal. In 2009, within 3 weeks, I got the Beatles Rock Band up to 21.9K followers. That's like nothing now. But back in the day, that was like, what? I would start hashtags like tweet the Beatles, or you had to like tweet lyrics using Beatles lyrics using the word tweet. It was awesome. And then this happened in 2011 to celebrate the marriage equality bill passing in New York. My friends and I happened to be out and very drunk the night that the bill passed. I'm a minister. I know it's very obvious by looking at me that I'm a Jewish atheist, Buddhist, Universal Life Church minister. And I have a lot of friends in the media, and we decided, oh my God, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. Let's throw a giant event. Let's marry as many people as possible for free in Central Park. And we actually coordinated everything using social media. And it was pretty amazing. Only using social, we got all of our couples, all of our officiants. We got free customized cupcakes, champagne, free customized flowers, glam squads, photography. And it was all by social, which was pretty awesome because the Parks Department was like, yo, we saw your tweet that you're going to marry all these same-sex couples in Central Park. Were you planning on doing that? And I was like, Bethesda Fountain, like at the end of Angels in America. It's so iconic. And they're like, yeah, you can't do that. And we're like, but we said Central Park. And they said, well, you can do it at a place called Merchant's Gate. And we were like, okay. And they said, and that's going to cost $1.8 million. And we were like, what? Like, we just believe that all humans are equal, and that's what we're celebrating. So we met with the Parks Conservancy, which is a very conservative group of older men and women of New York City who support the parks. And they were like, what's your commercial interest? And we were like, we literally have no commercial interest. Like, we love that New York City is recognizing that all humans are equal. We're not trying to make money. We just think this is really great. We don't have $1.8 million. The Knot came on board to work with us because they realized that me and my best friend Josh knew nothing about planning weddings. And they gave us $1.8 million worth of Central Park for free, which is lovely. So always don't have a commercial interest to help. Anyway, we got lots and lots and lots of press. It was awesome. I was on every local affiliate news as a spokesperson. We got a lot of global press. And also, we were so famous that we were a question on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which is really how you know that you've made it. Anyway, that's a la 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 la. Then I was at VH1 doing social on air and digital, what I call omni-channel. We used to call it 360, but 360 now is more of like a virtual reality thing. So I use omni-channel instead. I was at VH1, then I went to Nickelodeon, and then I left to go on the vendor side to see like what the heck life was like if I left Viacom, which is quite different. Now I have a whole variety of clients, and here's a case study about a project I just did to show you the power of social media.
If I told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, I love you.
February 15th, 2014, Richard Simmons disappears. February 15th, 2017, the podcast Missing Richard Simmons debuts.
3 years ago, Richard Simmons inexplicably stopped being Richard Simmons.
First Look Media came to Alchemy X for social media strategy, creative, and management. With a robust social media plan, we watched as buzz about the podcast started to grow.
Where is Richard Simmons?
And grow.
Dan Taberski with his chart-topping podcast.
And grow.
Well, we hope he's okay. In the meantime, we're enjoying this podcast.
Until Missing Richard Simmons became the number one podcast in the world.
A podcast so popular, it's being called the Serial of 2017.
And the hottest phenomenon of the winter. Social Media Strategy,
Creative, and Management
by Alchemy X.
Anyway, the point being is, you know, podcasts don't do traditional media buys. And so by using social media, we were able to propel this this podcast that First Look Media was like, we're not really sure if this is going to have an audience. I did a robust strategy and like, yes, the number one podcast in the world, which was great. Everyone was really excited. Yay, social. So there was no print. There was no digital buys. There was no on-air buys. It was just the social media. So la, 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 la. Here we go. You already got the description of my thing. Here's me. Here's a Agent Cooper from my favorite television show of all time. I was trying this. Have you watched Twin Peaks? The new Twin Peaks, the return on Showtime. What's up, right? I was standing at a slot machine going, hello, last night. It did not work. I think it's because I'm not Agent Cooper. However, I'm here alone again. I don't know Vegas. If anyone wants to play Agent Cooper at slot machines with me, please. I really, really want to do it. Okay, so getting into social media and engagement, which is why you're sitting here not to look at Agent Cooper. Why do we watch stuff, right? Like, why do we get people who want to watch our content, our TV shows, listen to podcasts? It's because we want to feel all the feels. And truly, I mean, even though I think we get a little distracted from it sometimes, right? We're all telling stories, and telling stories generate the feels. I will speak like a teenager because I'm fluent in social media. The big goal here is to get your viewers to constantly feel all of the feels. So we want to use social media to get eyeballs on TV, right? Because we have to sell ad sales because we don't want to lose our jobs, whatever. I'm calling it TV because what is TV these days? TV, quote unquote, is it broadcast? Is it cable? Is it streaming? Is it torrented? I hope not. Don't be torrenting. People want to watch stories and characters and movies, and they want to follow sports. Sports, which I like barely understand, but I understand them this way. They're like a Grecian drama. There's like heroes and villains and like epic things, news and pop culture and ideas. So anyway, let's try calling it content instead of TV, although I sort of hate the word content. It's sort of shitty because it is content all the way down, just like turtles. If you're a Stephen Hawking fan, that makes sense. If it doesn't, just look it up and you'll be like, I get it, turtles all the way down. So let's talk about promoting what I used to call TV and I now call content in 2017. This is a big contentious thing, right? The 30-second spot is dead / long live the 30-second spot. If your audience isn't watching linear TV, if they're DVRing or if they're streaming, they're not watching commercial breaks. And if they're not watching commercial breaks, then they're probably not seeing your promos. So how are you going to teach your audience about the stuff they want to watch to give them all the feels? Basically, we as television marketers, we have to adapt or die, or maybe less severely, we want to adapt or lose our audience and therefore maybe lose your jobs, and we all want to avoid losing our jobs. Yes. So we know that our audience receives information about content, TV, whatever you want to call it, on multiple screens and multiple platforms. When I was working at Nickelodeon, something that was really important to me was that my audience was not consuming TV on a TV in front of their couch, right? They were looking at their laptop, they were looking at their tablet, they were looking at their phone. So how was I going to reach them and tell them about the next big awesome show? And an important thing that we're going to go into is that the best creative for one platform is not necessarily the best choice for a different platform. So a big thing for you as marketers need to figure out is to whom are you speaking and where do they get the most information. Your younger audience is probably on Snap and Insta. Your dad's probably on Facebook. Your mom might be on Facebook. It's really important to sort of understand where people are reacting to, and that you can really source that out by posting things on multiple platforms and being like, oh, Facebook Live really does well for us, whereas Snapchat Stories doesn't. Because in this day and age, we have so many places to consume content. Like I said, is it the screen in front of the couch? Again, is it linear or streaming? What do we call TV in the post cord cutter world, and we all know about VPN. Let's not talk about that. It makes us uncomfortable. Are people watching TV on their computers, on their phone, on their tablet, on a video billboard somewhere, on taxi TV? Do you guys have taxi TV? It's like a thing in New York. Like, you're really drunk and you get into the taxi and then all of a sudden, like, there's an advertisement for ABC 7 and you're like, oh my God, stop talking, I'm drunk. Are you watching it on your smartwatch, or is it like a chip embedded directly into your brain, which doesn't exist yet, but I volunteer as tribute. If anyone is ready to do that, bring it on. Because we can't avoid it, you know. Here we go, pumping my gas. Oh, there's Bloomberg. Oh, fuck you, ABC 7. I just want to get home. I'm getting my nails done. Here's In Style. I just want to take a leak, and like, fucking cars are advertising at me because OMG, it is relentless, and there is no escaping promotional television content. However, boom, you can create content strategically targeted to which platform it will live on. I'm sorry, that's incorrect. You can create content strategically targeted onto which platform it will live. That's proper grammar. Boom, Okay, so this is really exciting. I made this happen in Keynote. What? It's a comet effect. So here we go. Promoting TV on Social and Digital 101. I'm sure a lot of you already know this stuff, but let's just pretend that you don't. We're going to start at the very beginning. As The Sound of Music teaches us, the very beginning is a very good place to start. So Facebook 101. Videos from 30, yes, take pictures. I love that. Videos between 30 and 45 are okay. Under 30 is better. We live in a short attention time theater sort of world. Like, everyone has ADHD. No one wants to watch long videos. Things that are under 15 will work with some exceptions. Longer content works if it's, like, amazing. As you know, Facebook autoplays video without audio. And I'm sorry if any of you are audio engineers, because I feel so bad whenever I talk about this. But Facebook has created this new paradigm where we don't need sound design. You do need to bake in captions, images, infographics, image macros and memes. That's when you put, you know, copy on top of your image. That all works great. Things that that work really well on Facebook is behind the scenes hilarity. Your general audience has no idea how television gets made, and they think that what we do is like this magical phenomenon, which it is, don't get me wrong. But they love a glimpse into, like, what's happening behind the scenes, which is why something like this will do really well on Facebook, despite it being very, very long.
Later, political scandal in Illinois once again proves to be an easy target for the comedians at Saturday Night Live. But our weather is not so funny, Jim.
If your news people do this and you're not putting it on social media, you are crazy talk.
Ten seconds. Coming up to a voiceover.
We made it.
Stand by in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Several hundred people attended our rally today.
So good. So good. Like, I don't know what your people are doing when the camera's not rolling, but, like, please film it. I mean, this got over 7 million views on YouTube. Like, I didn't know who these people were before this came out. My friend John, who's a pretty brilliant comedian, on Facebook it lists his religion as these two anchors and their routine. So while we're speaking about Facebook, why does doing this boost engagement? This is a sort of new innovation in Facebook. If you have a short amount of text, they let you put it as large text over a gradient. I don't know, it just does. I posted this and 10 minutes later I had 101 likes. This is literally nothing. It's just Meta large text over a gradient. Use that to your advantage. Whether it's promoting a big story or a big thing that you want people to tune into, Facebook also lets you put, like, wackadoo images behind your large text. Just do this instead of posting. It totally works. Okay, so moving on to Instagram. On Instagram, eye-catching stills or short videos work best. Once upon a time, Insta was only 15 seconds. They now allow you to run longer videos, but seriously, don't. 15 seconds is best. What really works well for TV on Insta is that viewers love to see talent, especially behind-the-scenes talent. People love seeing celebrities when they're not on camera. A great thing you can do with Instagram is, like, if you have a promo or you have a story or you have a piece coming out or a show coming out, is to isolate the most shareable moment of your content. And a great thing about Instagram is it allows you not to take yourself so seriously. So don't be afraid to meme or image macro yourself. And like I said, Insta allows longer videos, but anything over 30 is ridiculous. So some good ideas. If you have this piece of content coming up, I literally have no idea what's happening here, but if you posted this on Instagram, I would click it. If you're searching for a king cobra, and this is a story that you know you're running at night, I would put this on Instagram, because who doesn't love a king cobra? Also, embrace the inane. If you're doing a story about a 911 cat attack, and you have a graphic that your team has built that features a cat going rawr, isolate this and put it on Instagram, because people are going to tune in. I know we're not always that lucky, but if we are, please, I will click it. So Twitter 101. Things that work, the cameras come out. Things that work great on Twitter. GIFs. I will note, I say it as GIFs with a hard G, not GIFs with a, what's the word I'm looking for? The opposite of hard is soft G sound. That is wrong. The creator of GIFs says it's GIFs, but it stands for graphic interchange format. And the way the English language works in acronyms is if you're going with the word graphic, graphic has a hard G, so it's GIFs. Do not say GIFs to me. I will get pissed off. Thank you. GIF is a peanut butter. GIF is a thing, okay? So short clips under 30. Keep it under 30. No one wants to watch more than that. Again, image macros, that means captioning things, what you might call memes, bloopers, any exclusive stills, whether that's BTS, fun times, office shenanigans. People love office shenanigans. People seem to think that TV just magically, like, happens. So when you can show them, like, here's us in our group meeting, like, writing on a whiteboard, people love that. Candid, silly moments featuring talent. Again, Twitter is really where you can amplify your own unique and special snowflake voice. And I mean that in the truest sense, not in like some weird Republican offensive way. Like, you have a special snowflake voice and you should use it. It's also really fun if you have talent who have distinct voices, like maybe you have a wacky weather person. Let them do a Twitter takeover, and you can promote the Twitter takeover, and then your wackadoo weather person can do all their shtick on Twitter. Also, it's a great place to amplify moments that happen during your broadcast or things that you just thought were amazing that might happen on TV. This guy became a star based on this one moment. GIF it up. There's no such thing as like bad mess ups anymore, because it all plays so well on social, and this builds your brand so thoroughly. Bless that guy's heart. I mean, he just knew he was about to become like the hottest, I don't even know what he is, news anchor on social. Another note about Twitter though is just watch what you say, right? Need a break from the game? Watch our 10 p.m. news for the latest on a body found in the Little Blue River. Like, that's a dead person. That person has family. As you can see, this man named Gabe Black called it out. If you do this, people will call you out. Social media is a really great way for people to call out your mistakes and make a lot of fun of you. Just, I think a great rule of thumb is always think about, does the person have a family? If they do, just a little sensitivity. Okay, so moving on to Tumblr. Tumblr 101. Tumblr tends to be a little bit of a younger audience. It's where people who really have intense fandoms lie. You might think it's just fandoms about TV shows that appeal to the kids. You would be amazed to know how many local morning show talents and how many local news talents have a devout Tumblr following. So GIFs work super well. What's interesting about Tumblr is it's sort of like where people will take the content you've made and they will remix it, and then they will call it hashtag mine. And you're like, what the fuck? I made that promotional campaign. That's not yours, bitch. But just let them do it, because like they want to feel like they have some sense of ownership over the work they're seeing on TV. Again, memes work well, BTS stills and footage. A great way to think about Tumblr is it's like arts and crafts. It's where fans will take your content and just like craft it up. So let them, you know, things like this. Who doesn't want to Judge Judy GIF glitch? You know, this might happen on your newscast. Let it. There's nothing wrong with that. They took your newscast and they re-chironed it. That's going to spread all over Tumblr. Don't be embarrassed. Also, moments that you might not even notice, your audience will notice and will put on Tumblr. You in the control room might not realize that that's what's happening, but your fans will, and they will put this on Tumblr, and it's a great way to get at least this sportscaster and your brand noticed. So bravo, Tumblr users. Thinking of GIFs, there's a site called Giphy, G-I-P-H-Y. It's your friend. What's amazing is that Twitter and Tumblr and Slack, the interoffice communication device that is replacing GChat, it all relies on a Giphy keyboard. So that if you upload GIFs, such as, I don't know, rejected, kiss, whatever you tag it on, it will come up in the Giphy keyboard. So that if you're tweeting, if someone else is tweeting and they're looking for a like rejected and you tag this rejected, this will come up. Another great thing to do is that you want to get GIFs from your content into the vernacular. You could just tag that, and then that will come up when people search for that tag, and then all of a sudden, look, your talent's going global. Similarly, if you have Gayle King, looking like, sure, Jan, you know, you just tag that as such. Or maybe you have a really excited weather person. I would tag that OMG and just let the world run with it. So Giphy, build that, OMG, boom. So flood Giphy with your very thoughtfully tagged gifts. What's great is that you can feel like a spy because you can look on Giphy to see what your audience is gifting. They're gifting what they respond to the most. So then you get to feel like you're in the CIA or the FBI or like one of those top secret intelligent community things that we don't know about. The ones that like don't fuck with the intelligence community. You get to be that for television. By looking at this on Giphy, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Snapchat, wherever it lands up. Like Dr. Phil might say, how about that? Snapchat 101. So Snapchat, it is designed to be silly and ridiculous and fun. A great thing about Snapchat is that you can customize your own thumbnail. Things like Twitter and Facebook don't let you customize, but like if you have something super awesome and you want them to focus on, let's say the moment of that King Cobra, you can create your King Cobra thumbnail. Snapchat is designed to be ephemeral. Things that work best are putting text on screen, utilizing Snapchat's filters and lenses. And once again, Snapchat is designed to disappear into the ether. Screen grabbing a snap is not cool, Dad. Although here's one from the Today Show, very clever usage. Again, this will disappear. If that asshole Ryan Lochte is on the Today Show, turn him into a pineapple and make him throw up pineapple innards. Also, Snapchat's a great way to make somewhat boring content a little more exciting. Okay, now we come to the crux of the matter, right? As TV marketers, we're always making promos. Did the fireworks happen? I put fireworks on that. So you can use social media to promote your very own promos that you're working on. So you can use pics. You can use stills from behind the scenes, right? Like people are like, I don't know why you have a shot of Tara Reid and Kyle Richards holding mascara in a benefit boutique, but like they're gonna want to know. Also, like I'm filming Nicki Minaj and I put a camera in her face. What the heck's that gonna be? I don't know, but I'm getting people excited. Similarly, if you have something that you're shooting or that you've grabbed some other asset, just GIF it up. This is Macklemore, depending on what year it is. I don't know what he's doing. I'm mildly intrigued. A great thing for us as promo people and TV marketers is to think of that we're just as important as movie theaters. For example, let's look at what HBO did. This was not even to promote Game of Thrones. This is to promote the premiere of a trailer for, a promo for Game of Thrones. Well, now you know when the promo is premiering, but like, why not do that for everything? Sure, we might not all have content like Game of Thrones, but we can take a lesson for this. Similarly, if you happen to have a shoot, like I've seen those things where it's like, Big Bang Theory is coming to Channel 7, and like you get to do a fun spot and they all dance around. If you can utilize that shoot and like wring the most content out of it as possible, I like to call this how the vegan sausage gets made. Here's a really great example that Comedy Central did.
It's Jeff Ross, the Roastmaster General.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Buster!
This might be the greatest roast in Comedy Central history. I'm excited.
And again, tune in, promoting your promo. That's announcing nothing but a hashtag. Don't be afraid to do that, why not? Also, while you're making promos, you know, just GIF it up. You can make a promo for your promo. This is from MTV's Screen. Also, it doesn't really cost any money to do this sort of thing. What? Your trailer or your promo's coming out in 2 days? Like, an intern can do that. And also, it costs no money, which makes your boss really happy. So, very quickly, here's an example of a project that I just worked on. We were given the task of, we need to promote Pretty Little Liars, and it's dreamy star Keegan Allen, who plays Toby. And we are integrating with Truth, who is the Stop Smoking, anti-smoking campaign. And Truth's current message is, teach kids not to smoke, because if they smoke, their cats will die, and then there will be no more cat videos. So I shot a very big campaign, but first we know that Pretty Little Liars is very, very popular on social, so first we teased our tease.
Hey guys, I'm just shooting this music video with my pet lion, Minin.
So people had no idea what was coming, but they were like, okay, that's cool. So then we put this GIF out. So everyone was totally excited by the time the spot finally came out, which is this.
Hey, Jelly, what's the haps, yo? Why'd you want to chat?
Keegan, I can't even. Just beep this flying cat.
Prevent Catmageddon. Let's be the generation that ends smoking.
Inspired by Truth.
Highly effective, clearly. But the point being that everything is content. There's no such thing as the cutting room floor anymore. GIF up your bloopers, post ridiculous spills, put meme captions all over your stuffs and share it. Make your voice heard by your social presence. So the big question here is, what are your brand attributes and how do they translate to social media? And how can you use every piece of the buffalo, like I was saying about no cutting room floor, ideally a tofu buffalo. Things that work great, bloopers. Because what you're trying to always keep in mind is, who is your audience? And when you're making content and marketing, you're thinking, is this campaign or your network aimed at a specific demographic or psychographic? And honestly, what the heck is the difference? Briefly, demographics. These are the people you're targeting with regards to age, income, and location, as in that is cold, hard, objective data. Those are facts. Psychographics, these are the people you're targeting with regards to personality, values, opinions, attitudes, interests, and lifestyles, which is subjective analysis. In other words, demographics mean who is your audience, and a psychographic means why your particular audience is watching you. So when you're creating your voice for social, here's what you want to talk about or think about. Who's speaking to the audience via social? Is it your channel? Is it your talent? Is it your social media management team who has an amazing brand brief that they follow? I mean, use your words as you're figuring this out, right? Are you lifestyle and pop culture, entertainment? Are you sports and science and news? What's your market, local, national, global? Are you comedy? Are you drama? Are you soap opera? Are you a talk show? The greatest way I can summarize this is that if your brand, your network, your channel, your show were on Tinder, what would its bio be? If you can write a less than 200-word bio for your channel that you would put on Tinder as if you were trying to get dates, think about that and let that inform who you are. Then you want to hone your tone. Your voice, of course, depends on who you want to watch and why you want them to watch. You really need to sound authentic and organic for your audience. A great thing about social media is it's basically like, screw focus groups. We don't need them anymore. We have real-time focus groups happening. We can look on all of these various platforms. And the best thing about social is it doesn't take as long to make as a 30-second spot does, so you can literally adjust your social voice in real time. Just one last, so before I wrap up, people always ask me, does social drive ratings, to which I say yes. When I was working at Teen Nick at Nick's Flat, we announced that we were going to air a never-before-seen episode of Rocko's Modern Life, which was a very popular cartoon in the 90s. People were really excited about it. We hyped it on Twitter. We hyped it on air. People were so excited about it. In fact, someone commented on Insta that if the supposed never-before-seen episode of Rocko's Modern Life turns out to be an April Fool's joke, it had better be an awesome one and just be a half hour of mayo. It would be the best prank ever. There was a classic episode of Rocko's Modern Life where Rocko and his friends took over a TV channel and they accidentally aired a half an hour of mayo. What was amazing about this is that we became the number one trending topic in the United States as well as the number two trending topic in the world. Facts about this: throughout the half an hour stunt, Twitter activity boosted ratings. Well, we just showed one shot of mayo. Would you double and triple digit ratings? Our ratings for this particular half hour were 300% greater than they'd been before. As I said, we had these top trends, and what was great is that this really put us on the map, and our ratings went up 31% over the next month. I actually have graphs. I have math about this. The blue line is the kids who we don't care about. The red line is our target demo and psychographic, and you can see that, and the green line is Twitter. So you can see that as Twitter activity went up, so too did our ratings. So hand in hand went our Twitter trendingness and our ratings. So that was pretty fracking awesome. So this can be a really great tool for you to move the needle, but just a couple warnings. Don't use a meme if it's played out. Don't ever use cultural appropriation. Don't be problematic. Don't be racist, homophobic, transphobic, misogynistic, bigoted, or otherwise a jerk. And just some prime examples of things not to do. Wonton tacos are never on Fleek. Please don't ever use the word on Fleek ever again. That died out 5 years ago. If you are SpaghettiOs, please, please, please do not try to culturally appropriate Pearl Harbor Day to promote your brand. If you're going to tweet about Oprah, try to make sure it's not Whoopi Goldberg. These are all just really important rules. If you do such things, you will be hit with the nope octopus, and really, that's basically the worst. So, as you're moving forward and you're developing your social campaigns and building your voice and deciding how you're doing this, I just leave you with this, that you should use the power for good, because with great power comes great... Whee! So there, I think I made it in time. If you have any questions or comments or concerns, here's me. I'm at Starbucks on all of the social platforms. You can find me. I'm there. I respond to things. You can tweet at me right now, and I'll look at it when I get off the stage. You can say hi. I have blue hair, and I wear a lot of glitter. I'm easy to find. If you see me on Twitter, swipe right. Boom. That's me. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you, Promax PDA, for having me.
The holiday season is a great time to give back. As you make your plans, please consider a donation to help the people of Puerto Rico who are still suffering the effects of Hurricane Maria. Go to GoFundMe.com/Operation Puerto Rico Gift Lift to donate today. Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. LaFern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at Promax BDA. Video helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate LaCaire-Marion and social media coordinator Kristen Craik contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige. Follow LaFern at LaFern Cusack. Follow Promax BDA at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. Subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.